broken, that we are not carrying any baggage into the month of September, that every chain, every sort of pain is taken away. Let's just give him praise for the deliverance. Let's give him all the glory. Let's give him all the praise. Let's give him all the glory. Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. I'm going to take this song this morning as we get ready to hear God's word that is sending to us. How many of us here came with an expectation this morning that this is not just a regular coming to mark attendance, that I came to church on a Sunday? You came here with something that you know that you want solved in your life. You have an expectation to hear. When Jesus was teaching, the crowd were so interested in listening to what he had to say that they kept following him from place to place. And as they kept following him, he kept doing miracles. How many of us are expectant of a miracle this morning? Hallelujah. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Go back the same way I came. Say, Jesus. Oh, the Savior, Jesus. To say Jesus.
Jesus.
Talk to him.
Jesus.
Say, Jesus, hear my humble cry.
My humble cry.
I don't want to go back the same way.
While on others thou art called.
Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for grace. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for who you are and what you have done. You have been so faithful. Even for us seeing this last Sunday in the month of August, it is of your faithfulness we give you all the praise. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you breathe upon your word today. Let it be indeed a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, in the name of Jesus. That as we leave here today, none of us will go back the same way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Let's have our seats. God bless you. Good morning, everybody. Okay, I'll start it again. I am not a pastor. I am just a servant that has been given a responsibility which I have to discharge. I pray and I hope that all of us would get something this morning from what God is willing to share with us. For as many as could not make it on Tuesday, we had a pretty intense discussion about the power of influence. And it was while we were having that discussion that it was laid in my heart that we should take that discussion a bit further today, and which is just a bit of it, because we are short of time, and as much as possible, I want to keep to time today. So this morning we'll be talking about mentorship. Mentorship. As some know and some do not know, I grew up in a house of a pastor, and growing up, my father was typical African man cum pastor, so you can imagine the combination. And you would have thought that would have turned out the perfect kid, right? By linear mathematics, pastor's child, African father, it should equals to good kid. But I wasn't so much of a good kid growing up. And I'm using myself as an example because there's no other example that I would want to use, especially as it relates to the topic I am going to talk about today. By the expectation of our parents, they want us to, if not be who they are, at the very least, so that's like the limits. You can't be below that. You can't be anything lesser than who I am or greater than I am. So that's the expectation. And growing up, sometimes you don't have it all figured out. So you're trying to find your feet. Your parents are saying something. You feel a little bit differently. I'm sure the young adults can relate. But you cannot voice your opinion, especially in Africa. You have to accept everything that the father says. And so my final opportunity to escape home was when I went to the university. And I was like, oh, finally, I am free. And of course, I went to a university that was notorious for hooliganism and thuggery and autism. So if I wanted to go that path, the road was really broad to take any route I wanted to take. But as God will have it, you know, when God wants to use you, he tends to somehow find a way to guide you. So even if you are going to get your fingers burnt, you don't get too burnt. So you can still be useful to carry out the work, right? So in my first year, I have no church, I'm not going to fellowship, I've done enough of that at home. Here, I just want to read my book and enjoy being in school, right? So in my first year, after two encounters with cultists and not such a great grade, I had to rethink my options. didn't need to be told. Surprisingly, from my first year to my final year, my father never came to my school. My father didn't know where I was living. Maybe because I was, and it's no fault of his, actually. It was more because I was the kind of person that I took responsibility for my life right from when I was pretty young. So I started working immediately after secondary school. I had that zeal to just want to be in control of my life. And I was very secretive. I didn't used to talk to anybody about anything. So my father just believed that I was fine. But I wasn't fine. So I was pretty much alone. Second year, I said, okay, I think my options are not so great. Let me go to the fellowship that somebody in my class invited me to. So I went, became a member of my fellowship, and things turned out well. I came out with a pretty good grade. I came out with second class up eventually from last week, and things moved on from there. But I came here. I'm trying to summarize the story because of time, because I'm going somewhere. Life is a journey that is not meant to be lived alone. That is the point I am trying to get down to. I believed so much growing up that I could figure it all out myself, because I actually love to read. So I read a lot of books. I believed that just reading the books and looking at how the life of those people that wrote the books turned out would make my life pretty much turn out the same way. So sometimes I even had fantasies of how I thought my life was going to turn out. But in reality, it wasn't turning out like that. And that is where the place of guidance comes in. Nobody is built to be alone. And I'm not talking about marriage here, so don't get it twisted. I mean, there's nobody that is built to live a life alone without any guidance, without any teaching. That is why you see that In the educational curriculum, you might be taught something. Addition is addition, right? 2 + 2 is 2 + 2. Whether you are in your elementary school, or you are in high school, or you are doing a PhD, 2 + 2 is 2 + 2. But what you will learn in 2 + 2 in additions in elementary school is different from what you will learn in 2 + 2 as a PhD student. Why? Because it's progressive learning. Progressive learning. And as you go through that journey of learning, you have teachers who are telling you, this is how you do 2 + 2 as an elementary student, based on the level of understanding that you have. Nobody will teach you high school 2 + 2 in elementary school, because you have not yet gotten to that level of understanding. Our life is shaped by experiences and knowledge. So, by implication, we cannot learn something we are supposed to learn at a particular level of our life too early, because we have not even had any experience that will shape us, that will get us ready. That's why for some universities, they'll say, oh, you must be 16 years old or a particular number of years before you can come into this class. It's not because they are trying to limit you. It's not because they are limiting your brain capacity, but because there's an expectation that there's a level of experience that you would have gotten. You would have been formed to a particular level before you get to that. Praise the Lord. So this morning, we're going to talk about mentorship, whichever one you want to put it. The word mentor is defined as a wise and trusted counselor or teacher. Let's check those words again. The adjectives wise, trusted, counselor or teacher, wise and trusted. Praise the Lord. The ideal example of mentoring in the Bible, of course, there's no other example that we can give but than the example of Jesus. Jesus was the greatest mentor, and is the greatest mentor that ever lived, because he's the one that was, that is, and is to come. So he was our mentor, as we read it in the Bible. He's our mentor now, and he will continue to be even when we go to reign with him in glory. Praise God. While the word mentoring might not appear to be a spiritual world, in quotes. It is an English word. And you know, we are reading the Bible in English, so sometimes you have some words in the Bible that have synonyms, that are words that are similar to them, that we can attribute to them. So maybe for interpretation reasons, those exact words were not the ones that were chosen to use to reflect the actual verse of that scripture. But mentoring, the ideal example of mentoring that we see in the Bible is discipleship, which is the relationship, which was the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. Remember that after Jesus, when Jesus was ready to start his ministry, he went out and he started picking out 12 people. He picked out 12 people, the 12 disciples as we know them. And they journeyed with him right from the beginning of his ministry up until the end. And what was the reason for them to be this close to him? Because he wanted to teach them how to be like him. Praise God. He wanted to teach them how to be like him. And because of that, he carried them on a journey each day, each night. Master, tell us about this. We tell them. Rabbi, which means teacher. Right? So each time they ask him questions, so he tells them the answer. This is the way to go. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. All the while teaching them the way to go. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus was not the only example of mentors that we have in the Bible. We have Elisha and Elijah. Elijah was Elisha's mentor. We have Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. We have Moses and Joshua. So the principle of mentorship is not something that is strange. It shouldn't be strange to us as Christians. And we shouldn't have that divide between the old and the young. And that's what we notice nowadays. So we have this old carcass of Christians, the older generation. Then we have the younger carcass of Christians, the younger generation. No, there's nothing of such. And which is why I'm happy about the way it works here in Restoration Arena. There should be a transfer of knowledge and experience from the old to the young. And a sense of responsibility from the young to also be looking forward to transferring knowledge and experience to the younger. Because we are all like a pipeline. We receive wisdom from others, and we, whether we choose to admit it or not, we transmit wisdom to other people. People are looking at you. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, people are looking at you. And they tailor their life to what you do. So growing up, I had two other brothers. One pretty much has a similar personality to mine, while the other one was more reserved and not so. He's outgoing. All of us, we talk in my house, but he's more reserved. I'm sure you understand what I mean. But anywhere my, okay, I'll tell you a funny story. Anywhere my elder brother wanted to go to, I always wanted to go to. That's my eldest brother, the one we had most similar personalities. Anything he wanted to do, I wanted to do. Even though from quite young, they left the house, so I pretty much grew up with my sisters. Anytime he comes home and I see the way he dresses, I assume that is the standard for dressing at the time. So I tailor my dressing to what my brother did. And so if my brother tucks in his shirt and pulls out the back, that's the way I'm dressed up to school the next day. It's the new rule. If my brother is, so there was this time when breakdancing was raining. So my brother just came home. I didn't even know anything about breakdancing. My brother just came home and said, do you know the dance that is raining now? He was just doing like this. I was like, okay. So I went, I said, okay, I must learn this breakdancing. I started dancing. I said, everybody in my house started laughing because they said I was dancing like a crab. Unfortunately, at the time, I did not know how to dance. So I was just doing rubbish. But I always wanted to be, I didn't want, it's not like I was doing it consciously. It was just a subconscious action to always want to be like my brother. So no matter how old or young you are, somebody is looking at you. Now, if what you are doing is not right, is the wrong thing, and the person is doing it, you are responsible for that soul. And you will account. The Bible says, if any of you cause another to stumble, you will be accountable for that person. So how many of us want to get to heaven? And they have checked the books, and you have passed. You don't say, oh, let's look at the accountable books. Because the Bible accounts for books. We don't know what the books are named as. So maybe it's the books of accountables, or the souls that were attached to yours. And then they start opening it. You now start seeing the souls that you led astray because of your actions. Because of your do as I say, don't do as I do. How many of us want to have the reason for us not making it to heaven to be because of somebody else's soul? That is the power of mentorship. And it's something that you have to actually make a decision about. That I want to live my life not because of me only. I want to live my life because I want to be an example to other people. I want to be an example to others. I see the way the young adults that are going to college now look at the likes of Brad Dyer when he comes into the church. He's like, our hero has come back. There's that look. Even this is my footballer that was on my team. Yai. There's that look of admiration because you have done something that they have not done. So they look at you like, and then they want to be close to you so you can share some of the experiences. How was it? What do you tell them? Unfortunately, what we do not realize is that what we say in those moments actually make a huge difference. If you tell them, oh, college is not a place where you can go and have fun and do all sort of, that's the mentality. The guy is put it in his head, he's going to college to go and have fun. When you say, oh, college is, you have to be this, you have to be, give him good guidance, he might not be 100% receptive to that at the moment, but it is there. The guidance will come in handy at the time when he needs it. And while not trying to pick on young adults today, it's not for any reason, there's nobody that doesn't need a mentor, no matter how old you are. Praise the Lord. Why do we need mentors? Why do you even think that it's important that we have mentors? Because it makes us accountable. And that was something I lacked growing up. I was not accountable to anybody. Well, accountable, I was accountable to some extent to my dad. So I had to come home during holidays, you know, do the usual and pretend like everything is all right. You know how you just fool your parents and just act like everything is fine, even though everything is not fine. I wasn't accountable to anybody. To some extent, I was accountable to my brothers because they kind of saw me through school at some point. So at some point, I was so involved in, so I did a bit of politics in school. And I was so involved in politics that I abandoned my academic pursuits. I wasn't going to class. Sometimes I'll get to class, I'll be so tired. So I was doing fellowship, I was doing politics. So you can imagine the rigor that was required in terms of energy for both of them. And so the academic pursuit itself, that one was abandoned. Sometimes I'll go to a redeem camp in the night. The request for us at CRM, I'll go and do something in CRM, come back to school in the morning, then I'll be in class and I'll be dozing because I was pretty much driving all through the night. And after I left that class, there's one political meeting to attend. So I was here and there, and my academics was just. But God, who is merciful, when I was in my first year, attached me to somebody who was almost like 10 or 9 years older than me as my roommate. This was the guy who took my brother's number from my phone and called my brother and said, I don't know what to do, but I don't think Shola is serious in school. And my brother summoned me. Shola, I want to see you today. I said, let me wait a week. I said, no, today. Okay, it's Lagos anyway, so I was there. And he said, what's happening? I heard this. My brother, of course, he wanted to be like my father. He said, immediately, you leave politics, you sign out of your fellowship, and focus on your academics. I said, it's not possible. It cannot happen. I said, this politics that, because I really enjoyed it, but I just needed to put a check on it. I said, I didn't tell him that it cannot happen. I don't want to receive slap now. You know, it's Africa. It's not here. So I told him that I cannot just leave my responsibility in the fellowship now, that people are counting on me, and they're also counting on me and my as the clerk of the Faculty of Management Sciences. You know, it was very prestigious at the time. And I said, okay, now what I was going to do, I was going to reduce the amount of time I spent on that. And God, as God will have it, I was able to somehow combine it better. I assigned some responsibilities, delegated. I learned a lot through school, actually, through all of that. But I don't want to take you away from the most important part of that story. If Akin had not called my brother, Akin is the name of my friend, I was already on the path downwards towards getting a very critically bad grade that would have made me not to get a job after school. Because in Nigeria, if you don't come up with a second class upper, it's very difficult to get a job. So you don't get a job after school. You are at home. You know, you are trying to struggle and all of that. I probably would not even have met my wife, and I would not be here today. So the path that we take in life is guided by people that God has placed in it to play a role in shaping the outcome of our life. The people that we are accountable to. Another thing that mentorship does is it provides direction. Praise God. Okay, time is running out, so I'm just going to run through this quickly. It provides direction for us. We can see that from the example of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. It says, be examples. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. What version is this one? Okay. I think I'll read what I have here. It says, be examples to the flock. Praise the Lord. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. I think I have a bit of a mistake there. I will get that out. But the message I'm trying to pass is this. When you have somebody that you are responsible, you're accountable to, a person provides direction for you. There are some mistakes you would not make. In my workplace where I used to work before I came here, they say, don't reinvent the wheel. What somebody else has already done, why are you trying to do it again? Somebody else has already put stairs to get to this point. You now want to put your own stairs to get to this point again. Just start from here and climb up. There's no reason to reinvent what somebody else has done. And that's the knowledge you get when you have somebody that mentors you. The person becomes an example. The person becomes a guide, which leads us to the third point, that it provides guidance. The Bible describes that guidance in Psalm 23, verse 1. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." How does the shepherd use the rod and staff to comfort the sheep? Bah, bah, bah. Bah, bah, bah. Keep going this way. No. You are going into the wilderness. Come this way. Come. He keeps guiding them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, as we all know now that all of us are mentors and all of us can be mentors, how then do you show yourself as a mentor to other people? How then do you even choose somebody that you want to mentor you? Praise God. The first thing is the most important resource, and that's not money, it's time. There is nothing else you can do for somebody if you don't have time for that person. You have to be available. You have to be available. You have to have time. You have to create time. You don't need to be a trained psychologist or there was one time they used to call me counselor because I like to listen to people. But you don't need to be a trained psychologist to even be a mentor to someone. All you just need to have is a listening ear and time. Create time. Be available for people to talk to you about their challenges. And so if you have a mentor right now, be measuring the person against these characteristics. Is the person available? Because if the person is not available, what is the person teaching you? Praise God. Number two, be purposeful. This is what I want to achieve with this guidance that I want to receive from this person. This is what I want to achieve with this guidance that I want to give to this person. The purpose is I want to school these two people and make them to be professional footballers like me. And so you now start breaking that down into plans. Okay, in their first year, I'll teach them this. In their second year, I'll teach them this. Just like a coach and his team. There is what he wants to achieve with each player. The purpose for the defender is different from the purpose for the attacker. It's different from the purpose for the goalkeeper. That's why even in some teams, you have the goalkeeper's coach, the defender's coach, the midfielder's coach, while the overall coach now brings it all together. Because there is a purpose that must be achieved. Be purposeful. Praise the Lord. And we already mentioned this, but I'll say it again. Be a listener. Listening is a gift, and it's also a habit that can be cultivated. Some people are hyper-talkative, such that you cannot have a conversation with them. They always interrupt you. Before you say, no. Gift, listening is very important. You have to learn how to farabale. Like, be quiet and listen, not hear. There's a difference between hearing somebody and listening to somebody. Hearing is just perceiving sound. Listening is comprehension. You heard and you understand and you have digested what the person has said. That way, your God-given ability, your God-given wisdom will now be activated. You'll be able to respond. And even if you need time, it doesn't have to be activated immediately. You can say, "Don't worry, I will get back to you." Then you go and think over it, you pray over it. By the time you come back with insights, not gossip. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number four, be real. I say something that I well, let me not say that it is something I have been doing all the time, but it's something I want to be doing. This is my what I aspire for. And it's a very simple line. Honesty is the best policy. Be honest. When parents are honest with children, children behave better than when parents actually are hypocritical. Not all the time, it's not guaranteed, but be honest. Children, when they are honest with their parents, parents become more trusting. So when you tell your parents that this is where what I plan to do, even if they disagree with you, you are still honest about telling them. But let's not be the kind of people that don't tell them because we think they are going to disagree. Praise the Lord. Honesty, be real. Say it the way it is. Don't try to sweeten a particular career path because you feel that this is the best way for somebody to make money. Tell it the way it is. Oh, when you go to college, this is how it's going to be. No. Say it the way it is. You face this challenge. You might have a bad professor. You might have this. You might have a lot of peer pressure. You might have a terrible roommate or, I don't know, bunkmate or whatever it is you guys call it here. This is the way it is. But I'm not just somebody that gives you people problems. You're providing solutions too. This is how it is. But this is what you can do to overcome it. So don't just be dumping problems at people's door. You must be real. Tell it the way it is. And the only way you can do that is what leads us to the very last point, is to be an example. You cannot give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. You have to be an example to somebody else. Paul said this confidently. He said, be like me. And when he said that, it was because he knew with all conviction that he is a good example. He knew without doubt that he was a good example. So he was telling them, he said, be like me. Be like me. Be like me. I'm not the one saying that. It's Paul that said that. But now I'm saying it, be like me. Because it holds me to be responsible. I don't want to be caught doing something that I would not now be proud of when people hear that I did it. So you have to be an example. Don't do as I say, don't do as I do mentality. Be an example. You must show that responsibility in guiding others because that is the only way that you can achieve that purpose. And that is the only way that you can be accountable for that soul. The Bible says in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And then I looked at the taxonomy of the tree. He said, I am the true vine and ye are the branches. Now if you look at a tree grows upward or vertically and horizontally with its branches. From each branch sprouts other branches. From those other branches sprouts more branches and leaves and flowers. So you don't have one, you see a tree, it grows a branch, from that branch, there's another branch. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is how God's purpose flows. So the big branch that has other branches going through it is responsible for those other branches. If there is no nutrients coming from the tree into the big branch, all the other branch attached to it, they are dead. Are you going to let the souls that are attached to you, because you don't even know what place you are in the tree, there are souls that are attached to you, there are branches that will sprout out of you. You are responsible for those branches, those flowers, and those fruits. If you don't stay connected to the source and allow the source, which is Christ, to flow through you, what would be your response when the books of accountables are opened and they are accounting for the souls that are attached to you? Let's rise up to our feet this morning as we pray. Let's just tell God this morning that, Lord, I don't want to be unaccountable. Help me to be accountable for all the souls that you have attached to me. Help me to be a good mentor. Help me to learn of you. Help me to know of you more. Help me to see more of you so that I can give that back unto others. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Let's begin to pray for